Ruth Port is with us, and today we're talking about a group of Te Tokoro weavers on their journey to reclaim long-lost weaving techniques. And that will also touch on Te Rārangaraupa, and also the sale that we've been celebrating too, which is at Auckland Museum for a couple of months across the summer, and so infrequently available for public viewing. A warm welcome to you, Ruth. Ko Dale tēnei. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
Tēnā koe, Ruth. Good to talk with you. I see you've got connections to Raglan as well, but maybe you can start, Ruth, by celebrating your wonderful fingers, and also if you can talk with us, Ruth, about the rōpū, please, Te Rārangaraupa. What's the situation there? What's the backdrop?
Oh, well, the backdrop starts with Dr. Maureen Lander, really well-known installation artist and mentor for us. She was the one that initially approached Rawati Ewins, or Rawati Wata, Mandy Sunlight and myself to take an opportunity to go over to the British Museum instead of herself. So, because she'd said she'd been over many times and she wanted to offer it to some younger weavers. So we went over in 2010 and had to apply for special audience with Te Rā because she's so old and they don't take her out very often. So that was our first encounter in 2010. And then it took us 9 years to self-fund ourselves to get back there to actually, re-encounter, reconnect with that beautiful taonga, and then to study her as closely as we could in the few days that we had, with measuring, photographing, taking some moving image to try and get what we could in that short time to come back to Aotearoa and try and reproduce, recreate Te Rā.
It's fascinating, isn't it? We spoke a couple of days ago about the actual weave, and many in our newsroom are actually very intrigued by it. It's at Auckland's Museum, as I mentioned, and well worth a visit. What's special about this this sale for you as somebody who knows the intricacies of
Where do I begin?
Well, it seems you've got a lovely relationship with it.
Oh, Te Rā is such an incredible taonga tawhito, taonga whakahirahira, inspiring, like the mana, the exquisiteness of her weave, the secret she holds within. Who were those weavers who wove her 200 to 300 years ago? Where were they in Aotearoa? I mean, there's just so many secrets she holds within. She has revealed a few of them to us through hanging out with her, studying her. Just not last week, the week before, we had audience with her again, Te Rārangaraupa, on our own in a room. And for me, every time I see Te Rā, she just brings up such emotion within me. I just go, she gets me every time. She's such an enigma, and she's so exquisite. And people need to get along to the Auckland Museum because, for me, because there's no provenance, Te Rā, I view Te Rā as a national treasure. And so, in a way, it's good there's no provenance because, well, known provenance, of course there's a provenance, but there's no known provenance for Te Rā. And in a way, that's probably good because we can all claim her. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if it was at one particular iwi or hapū, we mightn't see her as much, or there might be certain restrictions that different people place on her at different times. So I'm sure they do anyway, but and also the, you know, museums and curators have the ideal conditions to take care of her in the manner that she needs at this time. And that's why she's being displayed at a 30-degree angle, not upright, like our recreation, Mahere Tuki Tarangi. So people can see what she would have looked like to a certain degree by looking at both of the Rā that are in the museum. And also in Te Tonga, we have our our smaller Tauira Henemarama. That was our first sail to try and, you know, work out the skills. And so she's a little bit smaller, but she was our, along with Tera, a big teacher for us.
Sounds amazing. I'm intrigued. I'm going to go and have a squizzy at this myself. It's made of hanakeke, I'm assuming. I don't know a lot about sail, but I'm wondering if it, the intention was to create a solid object out of hanakeke, or were there elements that allowed tawhiri mātea through?
There are elements that allowed tawhiri mātea through, and that's with the beautiful whakapuariari. It's the zigzags of puariari is like to create space or gaps or holes. And that zigzags all the way up the tinana of Tera. So we are guessing, we're not sailors, but we're pretty sure that was to allow, you know, diffusion of tawhiri mātea, so the sail didn't blow out, and that they could manage, you know, the wind. And also, we believe that Tera was more of a coastal sail, not a voyaging sail, because of the size, and because of the fineness. The other thing about Tera is that we also think, I mean, we don't know for sure, that Tera is a ceremonial sail. And the reason we think that, or belong to a special rangatira, is that with the attachment of dog skin, the attachment of kaka feathers, both of these, the red feathers and the dog skin, denote mana and prestige. And also because of the amount of feather attachment on Tera, because we've studied some of the early drawings of sails that look similar to Tera, and some of them just have a pu'ihi coming down, you know, like just as a single drop of feathers. They're not got the feathers attached all the way along the top, and a matairangi or pennant, which is attached to the side of Tera, which is completely surrounded, apart from the attachment edge, with notched kukupā and kahu feathers. So she is no ordinary sail.
I spoke with kahu the other day, Kahu Tikanawa, about it. Yes. But, you know, your corridor has just reconfirmed, you know, what a very special taonga we have home here. I'm hoping.
Ai, marika.
I'm hoping that we can keep it here, but that's another discussion we'll save for another day when people ask for its return. Perhaps then we should secret it away in some Māori space. No, I'm just kidding here. But what I do want to acknowledge, though, Ruth, is how lovingly you speak of it. It feels as though you've had contact with it and it's got inside you. And isn't that a special and precious thing?
That is. And that's something that not everyone appreciates about taonga, how they are living, breathing entities that connect us to other realms. And deep within my being is that, excuse my bell, I teach Rāranga at Kaitai Intermediate. that taonga for me is very special. And so when we have been over to Rārana, we have, you know, hung out with her first, greeted her as she's a queer for me. And, you know, we kākahu up. We honour the mana and the absolute uniqueness of that, of Tera. And so I guess over the years, yes, as I said the other day, after my whānau, Tera is the most important thing in my life. She's, and has been, since I first met her in 2010. So, yeah, she helps guide my life with the things that she asks us to do. I feel like I'm a person that she is selected to do the things that she wants to do. And boy, has she got a big open slate now that she's back in Aotearoa.
Well, it's really neat talking with you, and thanks for taking time out of Kura to celebrate this connection.
It's always a pleasure to talk about Tera.
Tēnā koe. And it's tēnā lovely koe to meet you. Thank you, Ruth. Tēnā koe tuahine, ngā mihi. Ruth Port with that rōpū, Tera.